Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word of God for our devotion is recorded in Habakkuk chapters 1 and 2. The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and you will not hear? Even cry out to you violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore the law is powerless, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore perverse judgment proceeds. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. Because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Fellow redeemed, when our favorite team is struggling, it's hard to watch. And one thing makes it even tougher, bad officiating. And when you put those two together, there's outrage. Either the officials make the wrong call, or they make no call at all, and you'll hear something like, it's bad enough we play lousy, now the ref won't give us a break. They say the bad calls and the good calls eventually even out, but it gets bad and worse before it gets better. Sometimes we Christians feel that way about the calls that God makes or doesn't make when things are bad. Either God's apparent inactivity or the course of action God does seem to choose leave us feeling like victims of injustice. So often God seems absent and silent for a time, just when people need him most. Maybe God will get it right in the end, but it gets worse before it gets better. Our text today assures us that God sees everything and he will help. There will be a day when every Christian fully and forever experiences God's perfect solution to all our troubles. Wait for the Lord's deliverance, though its fulfillment seems to linger in the distance. The prophet Habakkuk complained to God, O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? To Habakkuk, God is like the official making no call at all. Violence, wrong, and injustice seem to flourish while God seems distracted, uninterested, or on vacation. Though Habakkuk prophesied to Judah during the reign of King Jehoiakim in the last decade of the 7th century BC, about 2,600 years ago, his complaints sound like they were ripped from the headlines. The reigns of the last kings of Judah before they were taken into exile were marked by chaos, international intrigue, violence, and strife. And things were going to get worse before they got better. How many times haven't we heard health officials say those words in press conferences this past year? We often feel the same frustration Habakkuk did. News reports tell of widespread riots resulting not only in property damage, but murder and injustice in the courtroom, the governments of this world, which are in fact God's representatives, often use their positions of authority to promote wickedness rather than uphold justice. After stating his complaint to God, the prophet stands watch and waits to see how God will answer concerning my complaint. Waiting also characterizes much of what we've been doing this past year. Waiting for the curve to be flattened. Waiting for a vaccine to be developed. Waiting for the vaccine to be rolled out. Waiting for the vaccine to be available to those in our workplace and community. Some things take time. Hope always involves waiting. It's like standing in line. It's like being put on hold. It's just in the waiting that we learn dependence on God. We grow and we're shaped by God. Most importantly, in the waiting, faith is strengthened. And hope has everything to do with faith in what God promises to do in the future. Wait for God's deliverance, for the Lord's promise is absolutely certain. The Lord tells Habakkuk to do something that, if we think about it, may sound strange to us. Write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it. Try reading while running. Presumably, the writing would have to be pretty large to be readable with all the jarring ups and downs of even a brisk jog. Habakkuk apparently is to take out a billboard-like ad and write the vision large enough that anyone passing by may see and read it. God wants his message to get out. He wants others to hear and read it. He wants it to have the broadest possible audience. And his message is one of law and gospel, judgment and grace. The Lord draws a sharp contrast between the arrogant unbelief of the Babylonians, who put their faith in earthly power, and the trust that dwells in the hearts of God's prophet and God's people. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him. Such pride is the attitude of every sinner ever born into the world. We like to think that life revolves around us and that we stand accountable to no one but ourselves. And we like to think that whatever success we have, we deserve the credit for reaching whatever goals we set for ourselves. Continuing in such pride and arrogance leads to condemnation. By contrast, the just shall live by his faith. Paul quotes these words several times in his letters, and especially in the letter to the Romans, to teach us that God's promise is absolutely certain. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. By faith in Christ, we may stand before a holy God and be told, you are declared just, free of all guilt before me. I have accepted the perfect obedience and the atoning death of my Son on your behalf. You may live with me now and throughout eternity. The writer to the Hebrews also quotes, the just shall live by faith, to show that we as children of God live our lives by faith, trusting that the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith, this assurance, is not just our trusting that everything will turn out all right. Faith is believing that God will take care of us because Christ, by his death on the cross and his resurrection, reconciled us to God. Our sin, which would have forever placed us on the other side of God's judgment with the unrighteous of Judah, with the wicked Babylonians, Christ took on himself and took away. Faith in that, faith in him, is the faith by which we shall live and are righteous before God. As believers, we can be sure that God will be faithful to his promise to love and care for us. In every circumstance of life, no matter what future persecution might confront us, the Lord will always be by our side, supplying our needs and protecting us. For those of us facing situations that seem to be getting worse before they get better, Habakkuk's words weave a path from frustration to hope. For when we needed God most, God was there, working out a plan. And this plan found fulfillment at just the right time, as God proved his trustworthiness and sent his one and only Son to save us. As we wait for the Lord's deliverance, we live by faith, faith centered in a God who always keeps his promises. Amen.